Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, this time following the Alabama Crimson Tide's 37-20 win over the Tennessee Vols on the traditional third Saturday in October. Now, look, it isn't the third Saturday in October every year, but you take them when you can get them. You smoke them if you got them, I guess. And that was the Alabama Crimson Tide this evening in Tuscaloosa. Welcome one, welcome all. It is Ryer on YouTube. Thank you so much for staying up late. It is just after midnight Eastern time, 11 p.m. Central. I'm sure Alabama fans having no trouble right now, though, keeping those eyelids open. Other folks probably have money on that, Stanford, Florida State? Maybe, did I see Lafayette is playing at Oregon State tonight? Oof. But we will certainly get to your comments, your questions, your thoughts in the live chat. So keep them coming. I already see Tex Tider in there. I already see Modern Day Warrior, Tom Sawyer in there, Tim Lee. I see you in there. Thanks again for staying up. Just checked out Kalen DeBoer's post-game press conference, as you might expect. Pretty happy. Kalen DeBoer after his first win over the Tennessee Volunteers. So now to recap, a season and a half into his tenure, Kalen DeBoer with wins over both Tennessee and Auburn, and he's got two wins over Georgia. But as we know, he's got a win over LSU too. That usually means good things for a head coach at Alabama, as we know in the past. Those have been slow in coming for some folks. Some coaches that have sat in that unenviable seat, sometimes anyway, unenviable seat as the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. But Alabama, it just seemed like, had an answer every time Tennessee posed the question tonight, whether it was really with Yonzi Pierre and the pressure he was able to provide, the safety that made it a 9-7 game. And then Alabama goes down offensively and gets in the end zone. And really, even early, you know, you wondered about Tennessee and the pressure it might be able to bring to Ty Simpson in this Alabama offense. I think Ty, on that one third down, third and 13, he hits Josh Cuevas. Really a great individual play by Ty early in the game. He's able to hook up with Cuevas, who does some really nice work after the catch. I don't think Josh Cuevas gets enough credit for what he does after the catch. And that got that drive ignited and got it headed towards the end zone in that early Alabama lead. And then Tennessee ties the game up, but you get the safety, you get the possession, you go down, you get in the end zone. 16-7 game. Looks like Tennessee's going to make it a two-point game, at least a six-point game at the half, which was critical for Tennessee because Alabama was getting the ball coming out. As we know, Alabama after the half didn't exactly have the most inspiring second half opening possession. Three and out, ball went back to Tennessee. But at the time, it felt very, very big, like a big moment. And Xavien Brown picks off the pass from Joey Aguilar, goes 99 yards for a touchdown. And so instead of 16-14, now it's a 23-7 game. A play that I talked about this on Spaces at halftime on X. Did the Spaces halftime hit check-in. And basically the same play Alabama has run in the past, including against Auburn in the 2009 Iron Bowl. Miles Kitzelman in there at that sort of Roy Upchurch position, the former Alabama tight end. And Brown's able to jump on that thing. Pretty poor ball placement, I would say, from Aguilar on that throw. I'll say this. We talk about it a lot on X, and we have the interactions about Alabama and when it pressures and Womack being a fan of bringing five, sometimes in some pretty predictable instances. On the two plays that the Alabama defense produced points tonight, they did not blitz. Brought four and got the safety, and then brought four on the pick six. So I think on the pick six, Heupel and the offensive brain trust is anticipating pressure. And against pressure, that's probably a good call. But Alabama sort of sat on it, heard Kalen after the game intimate that, you know, Zabian was trying to bait that throw. And it certainly worked out well as Alabama took the 23-7 halftime lead. But again, Alabama with answers just throughout the game. Tennessee cuts it to 23-13. Alabama goes on a 99-yard drive and gets into the end zone. So 99s were pretty good to Alabama on this night. The pick six for 99 yards, and then that 99-yard scoring drive there in the third quarter that kept Tennessee at bay in this football game. Alabama statistically wasn't able to run the ball really at all in the first half, but got it going there in the second half when it needed to run the ball. And again, understand, this is never going to be 2015 Alabama. This offense is not ever going to be set up that way. Unless you have another Derrick Henry maybe come along. Maybe Daniel Hill is that guy. But Daniel Hill, very effective in the second half. Jeremy Bernard with a couple plays. You know, Ryan Grubb got in the bag there with the double pass attempt that should have gone for a huge loss. And you think about how impactful that play was for Jeremy Bernard, and he turns it into a positive, a big positive. And then from there, I did like from Grubb, the inside run game just wasn't going to work. It got to the point where, and I understand you got to stick with the run game, at least in some form or fashion, but whenever Alabama tried to run first and 10 and then second and 10 or second and 12, it just wasn't happening. But the adjustment was the perimeter and the toss. How about those tosses to Daniel Hill? Daniel Hill doing some good stuff there. Got a little bit of the screen game going too there. You know, complimentary run game that you get from the screens and some of the backs. And, you know, Daniel Hill had one of those for 16 yards. But again, both teams in the second half really ran it much more effectively. Deshaun Bishop for Tennessee was a real problem in the second half. It looked like Tennessee figured out something in the run game where it was able to start getting some lanes. And then on top of that, you know, like on Bishop's touchdown run, you know, that's when you just got to limit the 15 yards, get him on the ground, and then have a chance to play outer edge red zone or red zone defense. Deontay Lawson not able to get him on the ground. Dejon Lee had a chance there in the open field. It didn't happen. But again, Alabama with answers throughout the night. I thought the second half, getting that 23 to that first half, the finish to the first half was so important because the plays were starting to pile up in Tennessee's favor offensively. And that can be a problem, even with as many guys as Alabama plays. And Alabama played a ton of guys on defense tonight. None better than Yancey Pierre, I'd say. Red Morgan, I thought off the bench, was really good. By the end of the game, when Alabama went dime, I wanted Red Morgan to stay out there and Husky and don't worry about moving Zabian Brown inside and coming with Damani Jackson at corner. Just stay with your corners of Brown and Lee and play Red Morgan in there because he had a very solid night the second year DB did. So fourth downs were big for Tennessee, especially in the first half. They converted 3 of 3, 1 of 2 there in the second half. I know at the end it didn't really matter if Alabama gave up scores, but I still think it was important for Alabama to do everything it could to kind of create that repetition of what the standard is and how you expect to play series by series. We saw it with Nick Saban. Some of Nick Saban's biggest tantrums were in 30-point games where Alabama, in his opinion, let off the gas a little bit maybe and let some teams in, even with the 2s and 3s out there. So I think there were even positives to take from how the game ended for the defense moving forward. We're going to get into your questions, your thoughts, and your comments here late night. What about CC? He said the three ranked teams Alabama beat over the last few weeks all won today. Yeah, they did. That would be Missouri late tonight with a double overtime win at Jordan-Hare. Crazy. Auburn Tigers just can't find an SEC win. That was important for Drink, I think, because the fan base was really ramped up last week in anticipating a win over Alabama. It, of course, did not happen. So one thing Drink does is beat unranked opponents. If you want to coach somewhere like Missouri for a long time, beat the unranked teams on your schedule. That'll keep you there as much as anything else. Tex Tider chiming in. He says, Roll Tide TR, this old man is done. Good night. He'll check back in. Tex Tider will check back in tomorrow. What about Tim Lee chiming in here? ZB's pick six was the Tide Turner in the game. Daniel Hill and Pierre had their best games at Bama. Ryan Williams shows he's a star. Ty is always on demon time. Not going to disagree with any of that. You know, I got asked after the game on X if this was enough for Daniel Hill to maybe take over as the starter. Who cares if he finishes games like he did tonight? You know, we always get caught up in starters, but I like finishers. And Daniel Hill was a finisher tonight. Did some pretty good work in pass pro, too. Tom Sawyer chiming in here. We're slowly starting to fit all the puzzle pieces together. This team will show their true pedigree next week. It should be a business trip and nothing more. You're right. I mean, South Carolina is absolutely circling the drain. It's to the point where it's going to be interesting. I know it's not a bye week that South Carolina has to deal with, but the potential, the very real potential for staff changes at South Carolina, which may or may not include at some point the offensive coordinator, who, of course, you, I'm sure, know, is former Alabama quarterback and head coach Mike Shula. It's bad right now at South Carolina. It is really, really bad. Let's see what Hunter has to say here in the show chat. Hunter says, I think it's time we just let Lee be the full-time corner and replace Jackson. I kind of felt like tonight that was the case for the most part. Started the game. It seemed like he was out there the vast majority of the game. Had the interception on the two-point play after Tennessee cut it to 23-13. What I like about DeJon Lee, too, at least what we're seeing more of from him, if a catch or a play is made in front of him, he gets people on the ground. You know, it's one thing to give up a catch, like on a crossing route. You know, if you're man coverage, that's a tough ask when you're trying to defend a receiver working with the entirety of the field. But, you know, make the tackle somewhat simultaneous to the catch. The sooner the better. Tennyson Lane says Red Morgan played well. I agree. Thought Red Morgan played well. Red Morgan set an edge tonight in the quick game. Do you see that? Set the edge and made the tackle. Something we haven't always seen enough of from this Alabama defense. Sully checking in. Com exact says he needs an update on Jam Miller, but Daniel Hill looked like a capable guy in both pass protection and hard-fought yards. Yeah, I'll give it up to Jam Miller coming out of concussion protocol to play in a game like this, and I know guys want to play, and I'm sure he wasn't what he would want to be tonight. But this was going to be a collision-filled game between linebackers and running backs, and not just because of what you were going to do running the football, but as you said, also in pass protection, because Tennessee will bring those linebackers. Sully, 462. I was about to be mad if Tennessee scored in the last seconds of the game. Yeah, see, I know you enjoyed that, and also there was some Vegas implications with all that, but I liked it because, again, It's a 60-minute game, you know, regardless of the score. You're playing for 60 minutes. And the objective, as we know, defensively, is to keep the points as low as you possibly can. And Alabama was able to do that. Com exec says Pierre looks like a problem in a good way. He's been, I've said it before here on the channel, I felt like even a few weeks ago, he had already ascended to top five status on that Alabama defense. And that's certainly more the case. What you love is that, you know, maybe earlier in the season, Kane felt like he had no choice but to bring five a lot to get pass rush. But at least with Pierre, you feel like you can get there somewhat consistently with a four-man pass rush. Now, you still need another guy or two to go with him. I think that's why we're seeing Keon Keeley some more in obvious situations. That's where the Quay Rousseau injury is problematic, certainly. I think Deontay, seems like when Deontay and Pierre work in unison on some of those games, some of those twists in the pass rush, they're able to get home. David Pyle says, smoke them if you got them. Yeah, Sully, it was. The gadget play with Jeremy was almost disastrous, but he turned it into something. It was one heck of an individual effort. Weaslow says Ty really needs to keep in mind his hots and check down. As for defense, they let a lot get by them, but are prone to also make positive momentum swinging plays. I mean, think about the red zone plays they've made, you know, in a couple of these games. Vanderbilt taking the ball away a couple of times in the red zone. And then the pick six tonight, they are opportunistic. I thought for the first half, they were fine in terms of assignment football and, you know, doing what they needed to do, especially against the run. Again, it felt like Tennessee got something figured out at halftime. And so that's when you started to see the Bishop runs. And now not all of that was due to halftime adjustments. You still have to, at the end of the day, tackle people. And that was a problem for Alabama on a couple of occasions. What else do we have here? Yeah, I mean, Hunter, I don't think this defense, you know, and college football 2025, you saw Georgia and Ole Miss today, 40-35, right? In Athens, it's just going to be tough. It is. It's situational defense. That's defense in 2025. You felt like third downs in the second half for Alabama, it was going to come down to third downs, staying on the field, and then defensively, how they played on thirds. And, you know, Alabama for the game, 5 of 11 on thirds, 1 of 1 on fourth. Give Ty a lot of credit for that. Almost after a disastrous pick down inside the red zone. That was reverting back to a little bit of FSU Ty there. When he tried to go back late, not even across the middle, I mean, almost directly to his left to Josh Cuevas. But then he answers with a nice pickup down there in the red zone, tack on the late hit, and Alabama in pretty good shape after that. So kind of the way it is in defensive football. Nobody has to like it. It is what it is. Whit Will Sports chiming in here. At least once a game, Grubb makes one of those what are you doing calls. That lateral was totally out of place. I liked what Grubb did in the run game in the second half, you know, getting to the perimeter. I thought the touchdown pass that he dialed up on first down, you know, once it became pretty clear that it was more of a foot on the pedal type of game for the Alabama offense, at least until they got into the fourth quarter, when you started to see more of the run game emerge. I liked that first down. I was waiting on Alabama to move Ty by design, because Tennessee flows so hard, kind of like Georgia. And I thought we were going to see more of the attempts to outflank or catch Tennessee, use it against them. But that was a really nice play call. You know, first down boot action, gets Rico Scott out there in the flat, easy throw. And, you know, Rico does a really nice job of finishing the play by getting in the end zone. But you know what we didn't see tonight? We didn't see Caden Proctor with the ball in his hands. So I call it grub from the club. When grub starts dialing him up from the club, that was the Jeremy Bernard play tonight. Jeremy made him look a little better there, though. what else we've got? Absolutely, Greg. I mean, that's what you want to, that's how you draw it up from a recruiting standpoint, you know? Still, Bill, no team wishes they could play Alabama. We still 2 months away from our best game. Wow. Just need to beat South Carolina next week. Beat South Carolina. Don't care how it looks. Get to the bye week. And then brace for November, right? LSU falls at Vanderbilt today. That's one of those wins earlier in the show that was pointed out that looks better for Alabama now with Vanderbilt taking care of LSU. Missouri beats Auburn tonight. Georgia beats Ole Miss. Four straight weeks for Alabama with a win over a top 15 opponent. Foodies Austin chiming in. Why didn't the offense try to bleed the clock at 2 minutes? Instead, two runs and no third down. Why give the ball back? Let's look at those plays real quick. At the 2 minute, let's see. Alabama gets the ball. Well, 3:09, Alabama got the ball at its own 16. Daniel Hill, 3 yard rush. Daniel Hill, 0. Ty scrambles for 5. You're going to punt it. Now, you know, I think at that point, you know, you're up and you just, I remember the third down play, the 3rd and 7. And I think Ty could have probably taken a shot throwing it there, but also run it if you're sure you can get maybe the, get the 8, but you're playing, or the 7, 3rd and 7. Biggest thing you don't want to do there is just turn the ball over or expose Ty to more than you need to. So I didn't mind him sort of just falling down in bounds there, you know. It's 37-20 game. You're up 17 at that point. The game's over. Let's see. Hans and Franz late night on a Saturday. Pierre, along with the losses at inside linebacker, makes me think Rusall will move to middle linebacker next season. You know, there was a lot of talk about that with Quay when he came in. Would he be an inside backer or would he play edge? And he's been an edge. But, you know, look, Kane Womack uses those guys in some very interesting ways. You see it sometimes. The wolf will be lined up at inside linebacker. So it's a pretty versatile spot. You always need more than one good pass rusher, too. Tom says it can be frustrating giving away drives, trying to force a run when it's not there, but it seems to pay dividends when we're trying to close out games. I'll say it again about Grubb. You know, and here's the thing. I hope Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb don't become affected. I don't think they will at all. But you don't want them to be affected by, why don't we run the ball more? Or why don't we run the ball better? That's not what this offense is predicated on. You know, it's quarterback centric. And it's going to be, there's going to be a run game component, obviously. And to your point, as long as you're good running the ball situationally, you know, that's all that should matter to you. This is what we've seen this year is exactly what this offense is supposed to be. And a lot of that goes back to Ty and Ryan Grubb. You know, Ty from the pocket can expand it in ways that Jalen Milroe couldn't last year. But this offense looks a lot more like Michael Penix in Washington a couple years ago than definitely last year did. Yeah, I mean, when you just add it up, and what matters, what Tennessee was the highest scoring offense in college football, and they scored 20 tonight. So, you know, that's what matters. You know, it can get a little dicey with how you get there, but at the end of the day, they did what they needed to do, and they can get better, I think. Sully says it was missing the big guy Proctor run in short yardage situations. Can Alabama stop the run game? 6-0 is asking here. They did in the first half tonight. Did a good job against the run in the first half. Second half, it was a little problematic. Sean Bishop goes 14 for 123 and the two tutties. Tennessee, though, 142 on 33 carries. Now, sacks come out of that. So, you know, before your sacks yards are adjusted, it was more like 175 and 6 yards per carry. Tony T says they must have lit a fire under Lawson. Definitely his best games this far. I thought the linebackers played pretty well. You know, I thought this game for Nakai Hill-Green might be kind of like last week's game where you would see even more of him because of the need to slow down the Tennessee run game first and foremost. Tell you what. What was it, Jordan Jefferson? That big hit on Aguilar down inside the five, that had a lasting effect. Aguilar was feeling that throughout the night. They were constantly working on him over there. Gelato says zero sacks today. He's talking about the Tennessee defense, and you are correct, Saw. Did have four quarterback hurries for the Vols. You did have the fumble where pretty unfortunate for Ty. You know, he's trying to throw a pass and he kind of gets the ball shook loose a little bit there in his throwing motion. But you talk about penalties and things like that. Alabama did a pretty good job of staying out of really bad, you know, long yardage situations. Tennessee did have four tackles for loss in the game, but the penalties late were big. You had the one drive, what, three penalties on Tennessee. They earned them too, felt like, on the back end especially, and then the late hit or the unnecessary roughness. Penalties. Alabama did have 7 for 59. Tennessee had 10 for 66. Tennessee ran 77 plays. Alabama 61. Red zone. It's big, man. Tennessee just 2 of 5. Now, a couple of those came after the game was pretty much over. turnover margin was even. Ty had the lost fumble. Alabama with four sacks. Alabama with the eight tackles for loss. I'll tell you this too, the shotgun snap at the most inopportune time for Tennessee was a pretty big play in the game too. Put them in a situation where they were moving into Alabama territory and then I believe had to punt it out of there. Alabama played pretty clean football. Gelato also says Vandy about to beat Texas by 10 next week. It might happen, man. Texas tonight. Oof. They got the win in overtime at Kentucky, but what did Texas have, like 180 total yards in that game tonight in Lexington? Ooh. That Texas offensive line might be the worst in the league. They're terrible. I don't know. Auburn might be up there, right? David Pyle says, or down there, I fully embrace the bend, don't break. Hey, come on in, Dave. The water's fine. That's the best thing you can do is embrace it. Because they are going to give up some yards, but, you know, if they're going to make big plays and big moments, the thing you worry about is eventually, you know, they run up on someone that runs the football. And it shouldn't be South Carolina next week. South Carolina can't run it. Lenore Sellers looks to be regressing. There was some watching a little bit of South Carolina, Oklahoma today. It looked like some business decisions were being made on occasion too already by South Carolina. And I mean, it's mid-October and you got a team that people were talking about as top 10 and guys are making business decisions. That's why it's going to be an interesting week, I think, in Columbia, potentially anyway. Tim says, love how this team just keeps fighting. They do. They do. It isn't always pretty. Not on defense. But they have answers, it seems like. Right now, they do. You don't win four games in a row like they've done against quality competition and you aren't providing some answers to some key questions, at least in big moments. They're winning the big moments, which they didn't win enough of a year ago. Trent chiming in, jumping in late. So sorry if it was asked. I get we held them well below their season average, but there were wide open wide receivers all night long. If they didn't drop so many, it felt like it would be worse. Yeah, I mean, Tennessee is one of the teams and I guess the SEC with the most drops. They did have some drops. But, you know, that's college football. And can you count on that week in and week out? No. But I don't want to undervalue what Alabama did defensively either. I mean, Yonzi Pierre had a great night. Xavien Brown made a huge play at a big moment. And didn't just take the ball away. Took it 99 yards to the house. You know, those what ifs work both ways too. You know, I'm sure Alabama's going to feel like even with 37 points, 30 on offense, that, you know, well, I guess 28 on offense. They left something out there. Gelato says, I think Jam was running side to side too much instead of going downhill. Yeah, I just don't think there was a lot on those inside runs that Alabama was trying early. And that's not really Jam's strength, you know? He's a pretty downhill guy who likes to stick his foot in the ground and be decisive. I think if you take away sort of that preference of his, that's where he's not going to be as effective. And again, I think the adjustment was made to the toss there later in the game. And Daniel Hill was in the game. And he made good use of his opportunities. Tom says he wants all the drives for Alabama to start at the one. Yeah, and, you know, I think it kind of it may have even surprised Tennessee that Alabama comes out in pistol with the spread formation and is aggressive from the outset of that drive. That's when it sort of felt like the message was relayed, or it was just sort of understood that the rest of that game needed to be pedal to the floor. And if you get to the point where you come back around to the run game and you get it going or it clicks, great. But if you had to, you could just outscore Tennessee if it came down to it. Trent says, also hate to say it, I really needed that last UT touchdown. Had over 58.5. The man got me again. Trent, I've said it many times. The man loves the pain. He absolutely loves it. I hate that for you, but the man loves the pain. He does. David chiming in here says, where do you think we have to improve to win a natty? I still think, you know, I think they have improved in this, but stemming explosive plays as much as you possibly can. And that's not to say that you just can't even give up 20-yard plays. Yeah, you're going to give up 20-yard plays, but don't let the 20-yard plays turn into 40-yard plays that get into the end zone or 40-plus yards. Give yourself, and Kane said, Kalen said this after the game tonight, give yourself a chance to play another snap. You know, when you give up explosive plays for touchdowns, you obviously don't get that opportunity. And this defense, it seems like when they do get the opportunity to play red zone defense, they're pretty good about, you know, making good on those opportunities like they did tonight. Tony T says, I guess Ryan Williams quiet some critics. Yeah, I'd say so. You know, I'd say so. Had the reverse for 16 yards, 8 catches, 5 catches, targeted 5 times. So he was 5 for 5 on his targets. Couple of tough catches, really nice catches for 87 yards. Good night for Jeremy Bernard. It was quiet for Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard last week in Como, but they combined for 147 receiving yards tonight on 10 catches. Bernard with 49 rushing yards. So when you're just talking scrimmage yards, you got 100 plus from both Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard tonight. Oh, gosh. Let's see here. Ricky chiming in. Daniel Hill's exercise makes him look like the best choice at running back. I like the size. I thought, you know, when he went airborne a couple of times tonight, it was like, dude, you're 240. You know, and he did from that point forward. I thought on the screen, he ran to his size after the catch. He's got nice feet for a bigger dude too. But what you want to see, especially when you're trying to close out games, is a 240-pound back run to 240 pounds. And he did that. I mean, I know he was trying to make things happen early on and everything. I'm like, but you're probably going to finish runs more effectively if you're on the ground. You know, if your feet are on the ground, than if you're kind of Najee Harris and folks through the air. What did you think of special teams tonight? Blake Dowd, a little bit of a shaky start, punting the ball. He had a couple of those. Those are tough, man, when those low tail draggers right in the middle of the field, that makes you worry that there's a return coming against you because you don't really have a chance to cover those. I guess we'll be good on Connor Talty this week. No field goal attempts. You like that, right? You like that red zone stat when it's 4 for 4 and it doesn't include field goals. You like those 4 for 4 with the 4 touchdowns. Xavien Brown, by the way, was your co-leading tackler. You had 3 guys with 7. James Smith, an active night. He did have the 15-yard penalty there in the first half on Joey Aguilar. But he also had 1 of Alabama's 8 tackles for loss. Pierre, again, with the 2.5 sacks, officially credited for 2.5. 6 total tackles. Pass breakups. Jordan Jefferson with 1 of those. I think he was in a pass rush mode, and that actually worked out pretty well for Alabama. I think he got a deflection, and the ball was completed, I believe, and Alabama was able to make the tackle in bounds there in the fourth quarter. Red Morgan, the aforementioned Red Morgan, with a really nice pass breakup to go along with his 2 solo tackles. Really liked his work in that one particular instance in the passing game. Had a couple penalties on the back end. What, Damani in the end zone there in the fourth quarter. Zay Mincy had one. Didn't really need it. You know, he was in good shape against the tight end just a little early. And your 8 tackles for loss came from 2, 3, 4, 5 different guys. Nikhyle Green did have 2 of those. So it was kind of his night, you know? So it is. On to South Carolina. Williams-Brice next week. The earlier you can sort of set the tone and take command of that game, the better. Tom Sawyer chiming back in. I suppose this is nitpicking to a degree, but Ty's deep ball might be his weakest attribute. Seems that way because he's such a surgeon on the short and intermediate stuff. And opposing defenses are still pretty intent on not letting Alabama take the top off with those receivers. But absolutely, I agree. I mean, his anticipation and velocity and placement in the intermediate ball especially is really good. That nice ball to Horton tonight on the touchdown on that whip route. That was a great route by Horton down there on the goal line. Good ball. Had a shot. I think it was LaCierre on a deep ball in the first half and just missed him. Ricky Dean is Daniel looks a lot like Bo Scarborough with the football. Well, Bo was long. This dude is thick. But I get your point, you know. Can be a lot to deal with. Size is size. Gelato wants to see a 2 running back set to help out the running game. You kind of are doing that with Jeremy, but I get your point. 2 backs could be an answer to some of this. I like that, again, you know, they have variety in what they'll dial up and what they've got in the book. It's not that they don't have that, you know. It's just tonight it was more effective once they were able to get the edge. David says he loves that whip route in EA-25. They got that in there, huh? I'm an old fart, Dave. I miss the EA and the video games. I think it's a good point from Dave, too, about Jam. I mean, the guy just came out of concussion protocol, y'all. Maybe it was kind of that way against Georgia in his first game. I thought he was solid against Georgia, but thought he was a lot better the next week after he had that Georgia game under him against Vanderbilt. So I'm with you, Dave. I wouldn't be surprised. The bottom line is you know you need more than one. And you've got 3 right now. You did see some of Kevin Riley in the game tonight. But that's the 3 guys right now. And you're going to need all of them, I'm afraid, before it's all over with. Maybe even AK Deer at some point, who down the road, I think you're going to be very excited about. All right. It's late. I'm going to let you guys get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow on the channel with more coverage of Alabama, Tennessee. Sunday night means Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News. I'll be joined by Chase. And again, that variety in the run game. I liked it with Jam on the touchdown. That little sort of misdirection flip. Caden Proctor had a huge block out there on the corner. But we'll be back with Chase. I'm thinking we will have second watch tomorrow for this game. That'll be earlier in the day, usually on Sundays, and then Sunday night with Chase. So a double feature of Bama Talk here on Ryer on YouTube on a Sunday. As always, appreciate each and every one of you for checking in here. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, please go ahead and do that. Hit that thumbs up. That would help us out a great deal as well. Have a great rest of your Saturday night, Sunday morning. And we'll be back with you right here on RyerTube real soon. Good night, everybody.